And time for Dial-A-Doc. We head to FHN. Joined now by Megan Christensen, FHN Clinical Nurse Leader. Her topic, diabetes and diabetes education at FHN. Good morning, Megan. Thanks for joining us today. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Oh, you're very welcome. Let's talk November. It's National Diabetes Awareness Month. Diabetes, a growing concern in the United States today. Can you tell us a little bit more about why that is and what's happening, Megan?
Yes, and I really appreciate the time today to bring more awareness to diabetes and diabetes in our community. And the biggest concern is the growing prevalence of the amount of diabetes. And typically before I do this, I jump on to the Centers for Disease Control and grab some current data and some shocking numbers that come across, especially after COVID has really changed our world. Right now, it says more than 37 million U.S. adults have diabetes, and one in five don't know that they actually have it. It's the seventh leading cause of death in the United States, and it's the number one cause for kidney failure, lower limb amputations, and adult blindness. Another big moment is they talk about in the last 20 years, the number of adults diagnosed with diabetes has more than doubled. And those trends go across the entire nation and also worldwide.
Now, what exactly is a description of basically a detailed description? What is diabetes?
Diabetes is a chronic, long-lasting health condition. It affects how your body turns your food into energy. Your body breaks down most of the food that we eat into sugar, and it releases it into your blood. And that's all supposed to happen, and you need to use that sugar for energy day to day, all the activities that we're doing. When your blood sugar goes up normally, it tells your pancreas to release more insulin into your blood. And insulin is a key. It unlocks our cells, and sugar leaves our blood and goes into the body to give us energy. When someone has diabetes, that is not working. Either the body does not make enough insulin, so you don't have enough keys to unlock your cells, or your body doesn't use it well, or it doesn't respond to the insulin, which is leads to the types of diabetes that we have. Either one of the mechanisms, though, lead to high levels of sugar in your bloodstream, and sugar doesn't belong in our bloodstream, and it causes serious damage over time. Heart conditions, heart disease, vision loss, kidney disease, and that is the problem for people with diabetes is trying to do the treatments to keep the blood sugar levels lower.
Now, there are different types of diabetes. What are they, and who is most at risk for them?
Absolutely. And just the mechanisms that cause diabetes are what lead to the types. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease when the body attacks itself. Doesn't sound like a good plan, but it does it, and it attacks the pancreas, and the pancreas stops making insulin. Those people typically have a sudden onset. It used to be known as juvenile in children and teens, but we do know that this can happen in adulthood as well. And the only treatment for this population is insulin injections or infusion with pumps. Type 2 diabetes is when your body doesn't use its insulin correctly and it can't keep its blood sugar levels normal. And this can be later in life, but we are also concerning seeing more of our adolescent groups getting type 2 diabetes related to inactivity, being overweight and obesity. But here the body is making insulin, but your body doesn't respond to it correctly. Maybe you think of the key as not unlocking the door. And then the third type is gestational diabetes. This is when a pregnant woman can develop diabetes. And again, the body isn't responding to the insulin. And that can happen in any woman. That's why they monitor them. And it's good to get your prenatal care and get all your lab work done.
Now, what symptoms might someone have that could alert them to the fact that they might be diabetic?
Signs and symptoms can be really vague. And oftentimes people, when they meet with me, will say, oh, I should have noticed this. But any of these are good reasons to be contacting your primary care provider. Oftentimes, the biggest one is being very, very thirsty and having to use the bathroom a lot, getting up multiple times in the night, needing to void. And this is your kidneys actually trying to get the sugar out of your body. And you'll be very, very thirsty, and then you'll pee all the time. Another one is unintentional weight loss. Patients will often come to the doctor and say, wow, you know, I really wasn't watching what I was eating. I was drinking a lot of pop or sugary drinks, and I was losing weight. Well, that is super abnormal after the age of 16, usually, right? But we don't think of it as being bad. Another one is blurry vision. And when you think about high levels of sugar in your blood, that blood goes from the top of your brain down to the tips of your toes. So if there's high sugar in there, it is potentially causing damage, and it definitely agitates the very little blood vessels in our eyeballs. And another big one is wounds that won't heal. You get a wound and it doesn't go away like it should, and it starts oozing later instead of healing. That is when high sugar is going to that wound bed and promoting infection. And that leads to one of the other ones, repeat infections, like urinary tract infections or trouble with yeast. COVID was a big one as well. Bacteria and fungus and virus thrive off of sugar. So when somebody has undiagnosed diabetes or possibly diabetes with high sugar levels, those can be signs and symptoms that your numbers are too high.
We're talking with Megan Christensen, FHN, clinical nurse leader. Today's topic, diabetes and diabetes education. Now, we've heard the term pre-diabetic. Just what is that, Megan?
Yes, pre-diabetes. Again, very concerning, and there's new data coming out after COVID that those numbers have increased as well, is when a person is in a state where their blood sugar levels are higher than normal, but you're not high enough to be diagnosed as a type 2 diabetes patient. And a type 1 would typically never be in a pre-diabetes state. There are no signs and symptoms for prediabetes. It is often caught on lab work done by your primary care provider. So another big plug here to be having your wellness exams and your visits with your primary care, because prediabetes does not have any signs and symptoms. CDC says 96 million Americans have prediabetes. The good news, though, in the new data is that the awareness is increasing. It's gone up 6% that people are reporting that they're being told by their primary care provider that they are pre-diabetes or borderline diabetes.
And then how was diabetes confirmed?
Diabetes is confirmed typically through lab work and signs and symptoms with your provider. And there are great resources out there that can help you, and I encourage everybody to use their portals, their charts online, so they can review their lab work. But diabetes is diagnosed typically with glucose levels, which often if you're looking at your labs, you're not looking for that science word. You know, we talk sugar to patients, but it's actually your glucose. And prediabetes is a glucose level of 100 to 125. Diabetes is typically diagnosed with two positive labs that are elevated to confirm it. And it could be that you get an A1C, which is a lab test that tells us your sugar levels for the past 3 months, and also a fasting blood sugar.
What types of treatments are available?
That varies widely. Type 1 diabetes, though, the only treatment for those patients is insulin injections or using an insulin pump. All patients with diabetes should be checking their blood sugars. I know you hear me out there. And in type 2 diabetes, there's a variety of treatments that are out there. But the biggest things are lifestyle changes. Exercising is one of the biggest things that type 2, gestational, and prediabetes, and even type 1 should be doing. Activity naturally lowers our sugar levels. No insulin needed. So it's a great way to help balance out our sugars. Eating healthy, balanced foods, losing weight. And then with type 2, there's a plethora of medications, and patients' plans can change. Oral medications, non-insulin injectable medications, and also type 2 can be on insulin therapy as well.
We're talking with Megan Christensen, FHN clinical nurse leader in diabetes today. Now, you've got a special evening of education for Diabetes Awareness Month. Where can people learn more about managing and even preventing diabetes?
Yes, very exciting. We at any moment, you can reach out to me as the diabetes program coordinator. I'm a diabetes educator. I see patients every day. If it's been a long time since you've been to diabetes education or you've never been, please contact me. My information is on the FHN website. Additionally, we're having an event Wednesday, November 16th at 5:30 till about 7 o'clock, because usually we have some great questions and dialogue. And we are inviting people who are pre-diabetes or worried about diabetes, and also our diabetes population. And we're going to talk about a bunch of fun stuff. We'll talk about the holidays for sure, how to navigate that, great recipe ideas. We'll also be having some friends there. Dr. Bell will be there. He's going to be doing some foot screenings, which is very important to diabetes, and trying to keep our precious feet intact and free from wounds. And I think the Wound Center for Healing will be there, too, with information. So it should be a fun night. You can sign up, and that is required, at the FHN.org calendar of events. And please sign up and reserve your spot. And you also can reach out to me, and I would be glad to help people sign up.
Wonderful. Great information. We've been visiting with Megan Christensen, FHN clinical nurse leader, talking about diabetes today. Megan, thanks so much for joining us, giving us a little of your time, and I'm sure some food for thought for folks out there. You take care, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're very welcome. That's Dial-A-Doc, part of FHN and The Morning Mess. We're at 7:48. Good morning.